broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so was the Thomas Massey, John Kerry back and forth on climate change? I know Bongino played it earlier this week. It sounds like it might have been a little bit of a throwback Thursday kind of thing, because apparently that audio may be from 2019 originally. But either way, great back and forth there between Representative Thomas Massey out of Kentucky and John Kerry on the whole Hopi climate changey thing. David, I know you are kind of an expert on the climate change debate, so you'd probably had heard this back and forth before. But wasn't it just fascinating to hear John Kerry say, yeah, well, that all that CO2 was on the planet before humans lived here. Yeah, that's the point, John.
Right.
That's kind of the point he's making.
Well, it's not just the 800,000 year time frame where they do this all the time, where they pick out these time frames that the time frame itself tells is all you. It's like, okay, if you've got a graph that goes up and down and up and down and up and down, you can pick any time frame and make it look like, oh my goodness, it's all just going up. And yeah, it's like with the temperatures, they'll like, well, from 1993 until 1997, the temperatures went up. It's like, wait, where are you coming up with these numbers? Or in the last 5 years, temperatures have gone up this. And it's like, hold on, let's make a more holistic view of this, please. But I love these. I love these takedowns. There's a really good one with Senator Ted Cruz and the Sierra Club president that's also kind of older, but it's a throwback where it's like, you get these climate change nuts in front of somebody like a Thomas Massey or a Ted Cruz and actually have them ask questions, and they crumble. I mean, yeah, they just fall apart.
Yeah, Kerry got crushed in that back and forth. Well, and then I was talking about this story that's in the Associated Press Newswire today, where the climate kids who were behind the climate kids lawsuit here in Montana, they have now filed briefs before the Montana Supreme Court. They're trying to get the natural gas power plant in Laurel shut down. And it's like, the reason the U.S. lowered CO2 emissions was because of natural gas. And now the climate kids who claim that they want to lower CO2 emissions are fighting a natural gas project. There's zero logic to it whatsoever. Kendall in Laurel said this on our Montana Talks app: natural gas is one of the most beautiful gifts this country has been gifted from Almighty God, and it'll be a cold day in HE double hockey sticks before I ever vote yes on another mill levy. That's what Kendall and Laurel had to say. But
it's just infuriating. So here they are, Democrats, leftists, trying to shut down a natural gas power plant that's going to provide us with cheap, reliable base power for our electric grid, which we desperately, desperately need. And yet then those same Democrats are going to then turn around and say, oh, my goodness, the electricity rate's going up. That's all the fault of Republicans.
Dang that public service commission. Yeah, when they are literally filing suit to raise energy prices and to block jobs, dare we say union jobs even potentially, from ever going into operation. They are no longer the party of the working class. And, oh, by the way, the guy who is a Democrat candidate for governor right now, his kids are part of the Climate Kids lawsuit. He's also pro-gun control, too. So, again,
that sounds pretty crazy to me.
Aaron. The Montana Democrat Party, all in one candidate right there.
Here is your Montana news. A former Rebo County deputy sheriff has been sentenced to net 20 years in prison for sexual abuse of three girls. Joshua Harris had pled guilty in July to the charges that he did over an eight-year time frame and began with one of the victims only 8 years old. He even planned to leave his wife for another of the girls. Color 8 reports that Harris's sentence is 100 years with 80 suspended. He will not be eligible for parole for 20 years. After the election on November 7th for Missoula City Council, Ward 6 candidate Sandra Viseca petitioned for a recount. It was done yesterday, the 29th, and the result is a tie. Nick Christensen with KGVO reports both she and challenger Sean Patrick McCoy received 1,476 votes. The seat will now be filled via appointment by the current city council. That's the Montana News Minute. I'm Travis Lee.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine around the area today as high temperature readings will stay in the mid-30s for Bozeman over to the Billings area. For tonight, with partly to mostly cloudy skies, upper teens to low 20s, And then still looking at some quiet weather into Friday. With partial sun and some cloudiness, high temperatures from the mid-30s in Bozeman to 40 in the Billings vicinity. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, David Noble in the house with us here every Thursday. And, man, it's going to be great, too, because later on in the month of December, he's going to be doing a great job filling in on a few days as well. So you guys are going to be in for a real treat. But, yeah, great to have him here every Thursday with us. You know, he's got a busy day job. He's a working attorney, a lawyer here in Montana, but a Manhattan, Montana native. In fact, I was talking with Corey Swanson, who's running for Chief Justice on the Montana Supreme Court. He graduated from Manhattan High School. And then I saw the first ever Rhodes Scholar from the University of Montana in a long time, apparently, is a Manhattan kid. So I was like, man, you guys got some talent coming out of Manhattan, yeah. Montana. David Noble right. being another one of them. You know?
That's right. And our high school Class B football team just got second in state. Couldn't beat Florence Carlton, but... boy, I remember playing high school football at the time, and Manhattan hadn't made the playoffs in decades, 20, 30 years. And we made the playoffs for that first year when I was playing, and then it's been uphill ever since. But no, I was going to say, I was listening to your show this morning, the first 20 minutes when you were talking about the coffee.
Oh, and the water
and
jugs? The water,
and I was like, boy, Aaron's lucky that nobody in his office listens to his show.
Yeah, that's right. No. Well, what's funny is, yeah, it was like a little passive aggressive. It's just funny to me, isn't it? It's like, okay, so we're blessed. This is a first world problem, right? You know, it's not, but we have this nice water jug, you know, so you can go get fresh water, refill your water bottle. And I was laughing because Michael Foth, who's down the hall, and his mom lives in the Gallatin Valley, listens into the show as well. Great family. But Michael's a great guy. I saw him in there replacing the water jug one day, and I was like, holy cow, somebody else actually replaces the water jug around here. And because so we were laughing how it's like, there would be countless times where we would go to refill our water and the thing is just completely dry, and it's like,
so let me ask,
people,
you this.
Just not refill the water anymore, or is it just like,
let me ask you this. Say you're a law firm and you've got lawyers in the law firm, and the way the law firm makes money is by lawyers working for clients and billing their time to clients. And then you've got secretaries and paralegals, and they don't make money for the firm by billing their time. They're just sort of administrative support for the lawyers. In that situation, would you want the lawyers replacing the water and the coffee, or do you ask the secretaries and the paralegals to do that?
Well, you just do it.
Okay,
it just takes 2 seconds. You just grab the jug and throw it on there. Actually, what I would say is like, hey, if you got a paralegal or a secretary that maybe has a bad shoulder, or maybe is an older lady that maybe, you know, just feels like it's like she can't lift it, or a guy with a bad shoulder that feels he can't lift it. Yeah, no problem. And that's why I don't mind. I actually have fun. You know, it's almost now, it's like a game. It's like when I see the empty bottle of water, I'm just making a mental note, because I'm trying to be better, of not complaining about it, but just doing something right. about it. Just, okay,
totally.
You know,
totally.
And now I just kind of laugh. I'm like, oh, empty again. You know, so it's just kind of a funny game. So, yeah, Michael and I were joking about it. But, yeah, you know, you're right. There's efficiencies in an office. Like, hey, a lawyer's time is costs a lot of money. You can bring in a lot of money by efficiently using that lawyer's time. But, okay, but maybe he has somebody or she has somebody bring them coffee and water. Okay, cool, you know, however an office is set up. But if you're there filling up your water and it's empty, just grab the jug, put it on top, right? Or if you just use the rest of the water, just take the thing off, put the other one back on.
I have to make an admission. So, sometimes when I come in at 7 a.m., usually the coffee here at the office is right getting down towards the bottom of that first pot. And I have to admit, I have taken the last of the coffee here and not redid it.
You are a guest here, though, as well.
True.
Yeah,
true.
I was. Do you remember those YouTube videos back in the day? You kill the Joe, you make some Mo. And they'd show, like, the nerdy white guy, like, ha, 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 taking the last of the coffee and then putting the coffee pot back without refilling it.
I don't remember that.
And then this football, NFL football player comes out of nowhere and just tackles him, you know. Anyway, it was classic. I'll have to see if I can find those. those old YouTube videos. But because there's sometimes where it's like, okay, we've got like a very quick break here. We don't have, you know, doing a 4-hour talk program with very quick breaks. You know, it's like, okay, I may not be able to refill the coffee right now, but I'll do it during our 6 o'clock or our 7 o'clock Fox News update, for example, or something like that, you know, because we're not just sitting here playing music half the morning or, you know, hanging out in the office. So, yeah.
That's all.
No, we've got a great team here, though. But, yeah, it's there's just always those things in life and offices. Yeah. Where
that's
like,
office.
Seriously,
office
can nobody else refill the water jug here? Just put the new jug on top.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, but what they do say that, you know, you should address that, you know, in person, face to face with everybody else in the office, and you guys need to have a team building exercise, maybe do some trust falls on each other.
Wow, you, David, this is the woke update of the week. David is going woke on us. That's the woke update.
Right,
here.
team building exercises, you name it.
Yeah, team build.
A whole day of icebreakers with you and your team.
Speaking of old YouTube videos, did you ever watch the Flight of the Conchords back in the day? Business socks. It's business time. They business socks.
Yeah. No.
You're wearing that old team building shirt that you got from that exercise. You know, anyway, it's pretty funny. It's, and for those who've seen it, they're laughing. Everybody else is kind of scratching their head right now.
Yeah.
But,
The old YouTube was classic. It's really sad what's happened to YouTube. It used to be you'd go on YouTube to see videos that random people have posted anywhere around the world. Funny stuff, all sorts of interesting things, you know, independent sort of journalists and commentary. Now you go on YouTube and you search for something and all you get NBC News clip, CNN News clip, MSNBC News clip, New York Times News clip. That's all you're getting. That's all they push.
Google's the same way. You are not going to be able to find things the way you used to be able to find things because they've manipulated the algorithms time and time again. We should get to this. Tim and Savage has been sending you and I some good stuff via Twitter. The Democrats shared a Ronald Reagan quote. But they weren't in on the joke. So David will tell you about that one right after this.
Securing America.
A U.S. warship in the Red Sea shot down a Houthi drone fired from Yemen Wednesday as the number of attacks on U.S. military personnel in Iraq and Syria by Iranian proxies has now increased to over 70. Pentagon Press Secretary General Patrick Ryder discussed the situation while appearing on Fox's Your World with Neil Cavuto.
You have these attacks, again, which are largely ineffectual. But when we strike, we're going to take out exactly what we're targeting.
General Ryder reiterating that if American forces are attacked, the U.S. will respond at a time and place of the military's choosing, while adding the U.S. mission in the Middle East is simple to understand.
The United States is a force for good in that region, and we're going to continue to work closely with our allies and partners to preserve security and stability, unlike countries like Iran, which are fomenting instability and attempting to exploit the situation.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
The 68th Montana Grain Growers Convention and Trade Show is underway at Montana Expo Park in Great Falls. For the second year, the P&W Canola Association and Northern Pulse Growers Association are in partnership with the Montana Grain Growers in hosting this year's event. Clayton Lohr is a young farmer from Shelby who serves on the Montana Grain Growers Board, and he says including canola and pulse crop producers in this year's convention once again is key to the success of Montana agriculture.
At the start of this, you mentioned profitability. And so I have tried just about everything. Being able to collaborate with these organizations, I have grown pulses in the past. I am the typical young progressive farmer here. A couple of years ago, I intercropped chickpeas with Roundup Ready Kochia. So that was a cool experiment. But with some of these new markets coming up, you know, we've learned a lot about renewable diesel stuff with the canola. Like Karen had mentioned, there's just going to be a lot of opportunity, and it's good to keep an open mind. I mean, I still love we eat more gluten always, but it's cool to be able to work with these other organizations.
And the Montana Grain Growers Convention, along with the meetings of the canola and pulse crop producers, will continue here today in Great Falls at the fairgrounds. I'm Lane Northline.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with David Noble here joining us every Thursday on the show. David, yeah, you know, you and I were kind of talking during the break. Just this whole concept. We had a great guest on Montana Talks the day before Thanksgiving, Jerry Lim, won a Lifesaver Award through the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. He actually teaches classes on safety. But he told me a line back at their annual meeting that I really liked. You know, we all know the phrase, if you see something, say something. And his line is, if you see something, do something. And that's what I love about our listeners. Yeah, they'll call in and say something if they identify a problem, but then they'll also do something about it. They'll do something about that school board meeting. They'll do something about that city council issue. They'll do something about what's going on in the legislature. That's what I love about our program. That's what I love about our listeners. They'll say something, but then they'll do something too. There was a great Ronald Reagan quote. Everybody knows this quote. Apparently, was it a Biden? Who was it? There was a Biden administration official that shared this Ronald Reagan quote, but he didn't really understand the full history here.
No, it was Education Secretary Miguel Cardona. He said, quote, as I think it was President Reagan said, we're from the government. We're here to help. And he meant it seriously, like, hey, I actually am from the government and I actually am here to help. He forgot the fact that when Ronald Reagan said it, he said the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Yeah. So this,
if Joe Biden would have said it, he would have said the most terrifying 15 words are, I'm here from the government. I'm here to help.
Yeah, that's right. So the uneducated education secretary Cardona used a Reagan quote thinking, yeah, I'm going to show them that, yeah, I'm with the federal government and we're here to help. Having no idea that was a joke, man.
Well, how could you be that uninformed about what Ronald Reagan also said, that the government's not the solution to our problems. The government is the problem. Like, how could you be so uninformed about Ronald Reagan that you would actually think that he would say something like that and not mean it in the way that he actually meant it? Ronald Reagan's entire point and his entire political belief was based on this idea, which frankly is the founding of our country. The entire reason we have limitations of our government, the entire reason we have the Bill of Rights, the entire reason we have separation of powers, we have all that stuff is because governments are inherently likely to try to gain power. And then what happens is you abuse power. And then when you do what we do, which is you give the FBI and the NSA all this extra power, and then you let them do it in secret, and then you don't even tell Congress about what they're doing. What do you think's going to happen when you give a human being all this power and then let them operate in secret? They're going to abuse that power. That's what happens.
And then make them think that they're justified in doing so because Donald Trump is such a wretched, awful human being that they can do whatever they want to try to take him down or to spy on his apparatus. Yeah, of course, you're basically referring to the Patriot Act here and FISA laws, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act laws. Interesting. I'm glad you actually kind of brought that up because Mike Lee, the Utah Senator Mike Lee, shared this via X.com yesterday. The FBI wants Congress to reauthorize FISA 702 without requiring a warrant to spy on Americans. He says the FBI is part of the problem. And then he corrected it. He said the FBI is the problem. Congress must pass the Government Surveillance Reform Act. And then somebody else responded and said, respectfully, no, they shouldn't even extend that. They shouldn't even support that act. And Mike Lee then responded. He says, yes, it reauthorizes 702, but to keep the government focused on foreign spies, not on Americans. Letting the whole thing expire would accomplish very little and would not address the problem, warrantless government surveillance of Americans. So that's kind of interesting, a little nuance there with Patriot Act / FISA reauthorization.
They ought to throw – I mean, the Supreme Court ought to throw out warrantless spying on Americans. That's clearly unconstitutional under the Fourth Amendment.
That's a good point. Why do we even need a law change?
That's unconstitutional. Yeah, they can't do that. They have to get a warrant.
Yeah, we've had liberal courts create laws, manufacture a law. That's not their job. But their job is to say, wait a minute, that is unconstitutional when there's a clear constitutional violation. What is being done here is a clear violation.
One thing I did yesterday was I listened to a little bit of the oral argument in the SEC v. Jaruzelski Supreme Court case that was up at the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday. It's a big, big administrative law case where there's this issue of the administrative state and the non-delegation doctrine. What we have in this country at the federal government level is clearly unconstitutional, where what you have is basically the Congress passes a law that says, hey, SEC, go make a bunch of laws and then enforce them. And then the SEC goes and they write all these regulations which have the force of law, and then they go and they enforce them. And it's like, whoa, hold on. The Constitution says that all legislative power is in Congress. Congress can't give that power to some unelected bureaucratic administrative agency like the SEC.
Well, we passed a law that says you can do whatever you want. So then they go do whatever they want. Well, pass a law and tell us we can't do it. No, that's not how that works. It's the other way around.
Right.
You have to wait for us to tell you to do it, not well, we're going to do whatever we want until you tell us no. Yeah, that's very interesting. A woke update of the week. What should we cover for our woke update of the week? You tell us. Back in 60 seconds.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. New York House Republican George Santos, he's facing a vote tomorrow that could make him the sixth ever member of the House to be expelled. It's not going quietly.
Because if I leave, they win. If I leave, the bullies take place. This is bullying.
Santos faces criminal charges, including fraud, and a House Ethics Committee report finds overwhelming evidence of criminality. He says he's introducing a resolution to expel New York Democrat Jamal Bowman. He pleaded guilty of a misdemeanor for pulling a fire alarm in a House office building just before a vote. Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger died 100 years old.
I think we can look back to all this turmoil as the birth pangs of a more creative and better system.
That was in 1975. Kissinger was 15 years old when his family fled Nazi Germany in 1938 and moved to New York City. He won a controversial Nobel Peace Prize in 1973 for negotiating a ceasefire in Vietnam that did not last. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, back to it here with David Noble. Yeah, we always like to do a woke update of the week. Now, you could argue the story that we covered in the 6 o'clock hour where this Kansas City Chiefs fan, you know, the 9-year-old kid that got attacked saying that he was being hateful towards black people and Native Americans because half of his face was painted black and the other half was painted red for a Kansas City Chiefs game. Well, turns out the kid's Native American, as we pointed out in the 8 o'clock hour of the show yesterday. Anyway, that's a great woke update because it shows the absurdity of these woke leftists always trying to pull the race card. So that's a great woke update. But I think we could use this Elon Musk story and Disney. The Disney company is kind of a good woke update. In fact, we got a message from Shane in East Helena a few minutes ago. Hey, good morning, Aaron. Just tuning in. Not sure if you mentioned it yet. The Elon Musk clip going around where he tells advertisers to F off. It was great. I heard part of this clip. Apparently, you know, Disney, the left-wing woke Disney company now, was threatening to stop advertising with Twitter if Elon Musk didn't do blank or didn't do blank or whatever. And Elon Musk basically tells them to F off. And it was funny because Jesse Waters last night, he says, what's the point of having FU money if you don't get to say FU to people just like that?
Well, it's funny you mention that. Like, oh, this story could be the woke update. This story could be the woke update. The Zoe Zephyr's lawsuit getting tossed out prejudice could have been the woke update. Zoe Zephyr, maybe the most woke person in Montana. Be interesting to see who's the wokest person in Montana.
Ooh, but that's a good question.
There's a couple of interesting points about the Elon Musk story, the Disney situation, and then I don't know if you saw this major, major Wall Street Journal report about the Instagram algorithm. This is really, really disturbing
stuff. I think I saw you tweet something about this.
I did. It was a major Wall Street Journal report where they basically did – they did, unlike Media Matter, what Media Matters did to X, Wall Street Journal actually went on to Instagram and just created kind of normal accounts and then just started letting the algorithm – operate. And so what they're doing is Instagram is promoting pedophile content to people that show any kind of interest in, like, so on Instagram there's all these like Instagram models that post women that post pictures of themselves in bikinis and stuff like that. Well, if an account likes one of those types of pictures and then you end up like just continuing to scrolling and let the Instagram model, eventually it starts showing you
pictures of 8-9 year old little girls wearing bikinis and stuff like that. It's really sick. Wow. Sick stuff. Really, really sick.
So Instagram is basically pushing that type of material in front of people that might lean towards predatorial behavior.
Absolutely. And there's other Wall Street Journal reports about the Facebook algorithm and Facebook being used by pedophile groups. All of that going on. Meanwhile, Disney is cutting ads to Twitter or to X. But not to Instagram and Facebook. That's how evil this stuff is.
And Disney was cutting their ads, claiming they were because of a fake news story from the liberal Media Matters, where they doctored their information to make it look like Twitter was promoting anti-Semitic content, which was complete BS. There's an SEC angle. A military veteran and a prosecutor announces a run for Chief Justice on the Montana Supreme Court. We broke the news, and we have the story. Go to MontanaTalks.com.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, we're always covering a lot of ground here with the great David Noble in the house here every Thursday with us on Montana Talks. David, you were talking about how you were kind of listening in on this United States Supreme Court case involving the SEC in kind of a separate topic. But then we get into this woke update, Elon Musk, Disney. Apparently, this is kind of an interesting woke update in itself. So here's Disney that's in this fight with Elon Musk. We all know that Disney has gone woke, pushing the crazy transgender stuff. They tried to dial it back. They tried to scale it back after they saw how much opposition was out there to it, how it was affecting their bottom line. But they just can't help themselves. And like so many of these woke corporations, they keep doubling down. What was it? It's interesting. So apparently in their SEC filings, you were telling me, Disney is admitting in public filings with the SEC that, yeah, their woke agenda is a risk to them.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't mess around with SEC filings. You don't mess around with the SEC. And so when Disney is required to make a filing and advise investors and advise the public of, hey, here's what our company is, here's some risks we face as a company going forward, they're going to be honest about it. So the New York Post had a story, struggling Disney hints its woke politics present risks to our reputation and brands. Obviously, the Walt Disney stock has been tanking. There's been a huge dent in the House of Mouse's bottom line. What they said is that they have risks relating to misalignment with the public and consumer taste. Generally, our revenues and profitability are adversely impacted when our entertainment offerings, as well as our methods to make our offerings available, do not achieve consumer acceptance. They said consumers' perceptions of our position on matters of public interest, including our efforts to achieve environmental and social goals, often differ widely and present risks to our reputation and brand. So that's Disney going public and saying, hey, investors, maybe don't invest with Disney because we are way, way, way out of line with the American people. The American people do not agree with our social policies. And so, hey, careful with investing us. We got major risks here because we're radical woke leftists and our bottom line is getting hit big.
Yeah, speaking of radical woke leftists, yeah, we all know how Target took a big hit from their woke agenda and doubling down, targeting kids with the transgender agenda and more. I was thinking of this line earlier. You know, when we look at just these crazy left-wing protesters, whether it's for the radical transgender stuff targeting kids or whether it's this Oakland City Council meeting where all of these so-called pro-Palestinian protesters got up and spoke out against a resolution to condemn Hamas, to call Hamas a terrorist group. And they said that if you call Hamas a terrorist group, that's racist. Even though Hamas slaughtered entire families, innocent women and children and babies. But they said if you call Hamas a terrorist group, that's racist. I mean, these people are nuts. But I was thinking about it. Even these protesters in Missoula, the protesters that were out there chanting anti-Semitic chants from the river to the sea and all these things, the protesters are protester. Our listeners need to remember that. The protesters are protester. That's his radical base. That's the radical base of the Democrat. Tester. Yeah, pro John Tester.
Oh, okay.
Liberal Senator John Tester. Oh, yeah, you were giving me a look. I was like, does he disagree with me on this one? Yeah. That is the base of the Democrat Party right now. That's why Joe Biden is tying the hands of Israel, but yet pretending to be supportive of Israel at the same time, and in some ways is supportive of Israel, but on the other hand is tying the hands of Israel. And, it's because the protesters are protester. That is their radical liberal base. And so, you know, it just needs to be pointed out that that's who the Democrat Party has become.
Oh, and it's disgusting. And you see these Democrats like Biden and Tester trying to walk a tightrope where they want to keep the radical left on board. And so they want to go out and be anti-Semitic and anti-Israel and stuff. But then they also want to pretend to be aligned with Montana values and Americans. So then they do this other stuff. It's just so platinum. I'm hoping a lot of people are realizing that this is not your grandpa and grandma's Democrat Party today. These are horribly evil people. There's a whole lot of evil stuff going on. Going back to that Disney SEC fund, there's one other point I wanted to make, which is, there's fiduciary obligations of directors and officers of a corporation. And I don't know how much people know about corporate law, but a corporation acts through its board of directors. The board of directors hires the CEO, and the CEO then hires other people. And there's these legal obligations of a CEO and the board of directors to do what's in the best interest of the shareholders. That is what a fiduciary duty is for directors and officers, to do what's in the best interest of the shareholders. So, and if you're an investor in a public company or a private company, if you invest in a company and then that company decides, hey, you know what? We don't really care about the shareholders. We don't really care about our investors. We care about our own personal political agenda, and we're going to go and push our own personal political agenda at the expense of our shareholders and our investors. And yeah, our shareholders or investors are going to lose a lot of money, but hey, we're at least going to be pushing our social. That is called a violation of your fiduciary duty. You can be sued for that. There can be class action under SEC rules for that. I'm sitting here when the Democrats are always so good at filing, lawsuits like that on all these different things. And where are the lawsuits against the Disney board of directors and the Disney officers saying, hey, I just lost a whole bunch of money because I've been invested in your company, and you just destroyed the value of this company by going off on your woke radical left agenda. You guys violated your fiduciary duty. Pay me back. I shouldn't have lost all that money as an investor in Disney.
Very good point, which kind of ties back into this Hopi climate changey garbage, right? Which is, okay, the Democrats and some of these companies, basically, the Democrats basically forced some of these companies into investing in this green energy scam that costs more money, that you need to build more power to back up that energy because it's the, and so now it's cost shareholders and it's cost ratepayers. Interesting question on that front as well. The other story that we thought we could talk about as far as a woke update of the week, you mentioned it briefly earlier. A Montana judge tosses transgender state representative Zoe Zephyr's lawsuit challenging censure. So rewind the clock. This past spring, the Montana legislature is just about to wrap up. The radical transgender lawmaker Zoe Zephyr from Missoula, a man who identifies as a woman, basically gives some bigoted anti-Christian hate comments on the floor of the House. The House, the state House, determines that Zephyr violated the rules. So Zephyr was basically disciplined by the State House of Representatives for his hateful remarks targeting Christians on the floor of the House. Then that led to the transurrection, where the transgender activists were tussling with law enforcement and throwing things on the floor of the House. But now, people will remember that the judge, and this is a liberal judge as I understand it, initially did not support Zephyr's case, did not order the legislature to reinstate Zephyr's full privileges, whatever. But the latest is that now the judge has basically tossed out the lawsuit altogether and said no, that the chamber has the right to discipline members as it sees fit.
Right. So what happened, I'm assuming, I haven't looked at the docket or anything like that, I'm assuming that Zephyr filed that lawsuit
filed the complaint, and then immediately filed a motion for a TRO and a preliminary injunction. That's what got denied sort of initially.
Previously,
and now the entire suit is thrown out, which is a good, which is the right outcome legally. There's no question. Separation of powers. I think the judge said it's moot at this point because the session's over. All really, really good stuff. I wanted to make a comment on the we kind of started talking about Hamas and Israel a little bit there and the protesters being protester, which I think is a great line. But one of the most disturbing things, so last night on my Twitch stream, somebody's in my Twitch chat asking me the question, hey, if Hamas was embedded within the Israeli citizenry, would the Israeli Defense Forces be using the same tactics against Hamas as they are when Hamas is embedded within the Palestinian civilians? And I'm like sitting there, well, the Israeli government has an obligation to protect Israeli citizens. And so, yeah, they would treat that differently. Also, if Hamas was embedded within Israeli citizens, then there's obviously some violence going on there. There's some coercion going on there. The Israeli government would obviously go in and try to take out Hamas and try to protect the Israeli citizens. They're doing the same thing with Palestine. But this whole this notion that, hey, the Israeli government tries to protect its own citizens more than other citizens. Next question, please.
Yeah, we wish our government was more interested in protecting our civilians.
Well, that's exactly what I said. I was like, look, I'm an American citizen. I hope the American government and the American military absolutely values my innocent life more than some random innocent life elsewhere. That's the point of my government. It's to protect me I don't want my government placing the value of a Gazan civilian over me, which Biden and Tesla are
doing. That's what they're doing. That's right. Hey, one of our listeners really liked what you had to say about fiduciary responsibility. So I'll share that listener's email right after this.
Fox News commentary.
Israel extends its ceasefire light with Hamas in the hopes of more hostage releases, but I have grave concerns over what message this sends to its terrorist enemy. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week. Every week, we check in with Jimmy Fallon, bring in authors for the book club, and even treat some of your favorite Fox personalities to a very special happy hour. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Kennedy Saves the World. America's listening to Fox News.
Israel has agreed to extend its truce with Hamas in the hopes of more hostages being released. This came about after immense and understandable pressure from the family members of those taken. But the deal, though, seems shaky at best. The rule of thumb is do not negotiate with terrorists, but here we are. In return for a slow trickle of hostages, Hamas not only gets a pause from Israel's beatdown, they also get their own political prisoners in the swap and far more than Israel. This is a win for Hamas, and while you can't put a price on the return of hostages, I fear the ceasefire light will only embolden Hamas and their backers in Iran. Why would Hamas stop taking hostages if this is the sweetheart deal they get when they do? And that's my fear, folks. When you negotiate with terrorists, well, do not expect it to go fair or go well. I'm Tommy Lahren.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks. With Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with David Noble in the house here. I do want to have a little bit of fun here before we write, well, at least fun for nerdy guys like us, right? The Newsom-DeSantis debate is tonight. We'll get to that here in a second. First, Tim in Billings sent this message. David was talking about, you know, hey, you know, these companies like Disney, they're failing their investors. And so you can file suit against these companies, basically. Anyway, Tim says, David is spot on. If the state of New York can file suit against Donald Trump for fraud when there was no plaintiffs and there were no damages, why can't anyone who has a 401k or other type of investment fund that has these companies in the portfolio sue for failure to uphold their fiduciary responsibility?
You can. And I wrote a paper on these investor class actions in law school. And there's some law review articles out there that point out that the number one
tell that a company is going to get a class action lawsuit from its shareholders and investors is if the stock price goes down. Because once the stock price goes down, now you've got damages. You can go back to what the directors and officers said previously and said, hey, you didn't tell us that blah, 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 blah. And at the time, Canada was thinking about putting in one of these rules in their place. So I wrote this paper on it. But these plaintiff's lawyers that file these lawsuits are all based in Delaware, you know, and on the East Coast.
Delaware.
And they're not going to, you know, they're not going to, I guess not, I don't understand. Yeah, we all have 401ks. We all have these index funds or whatever. And yeah, we're there because of that. We have been invested in Disney all of this long time. That is sufficient to give you standing to file one of these investor lawsuits against Disney. But it's a pretty niche practice area. I don't know any lawyers in Montana that have ever filed a class action lawsuit against Disney, for example. But it's absolutely, it just seems odd that there's not a million of those out there.
I always have to laugh whenever you say Delaware because, you know, as a 80s, 90s kid, you know, Wayne's World, we're in Delaware. Even though Delaware it's actually a pretty state. But, you know, the Grizz are playing Delaware this Saturday. So right. It's like we're playing Delaware. Meanwhile, the Cats are playing, you know, the NDSU Bison at home. But two big games, that's for sure. In fact, we've got a throwback story on our Montana Talks website. Watch footage of the insane Montana Grizz game versus Delaware in 1993. Dave Dickinson, you know, the national championship, he was in that game. So anyway, cool throwback video on our Montana Talks website. The big Newsom-DeSantis debate finally happening tonight. Sean Hannity is hosting it.
The site's Alpharetta, Georgia, where Fox's Sean Hannity presents an exclusive live 90-minute televised debate between Florida Governor and GOP presidential candidate Ron DeSantis and California Governor Democrat Gavin Newsom, with a focus on major issues impacting the country, including the economy, the border, immigration, crime, and inflation, and the vastly different approaches the two governors have, as well as insights to their political philosophies.
Anyway, they've been talking trash for quite some time now, back and forth, Florida v. California. I'm excited for this debate tonight.
Oh, it's going to be interesting. And boy, you're Gavin Newsom. You've got to be prepared to answer the question, how can you say you're doing a good job and California is doing great when you got millions of people vacating your state and coming to Florida? What's his answer to that one?
I got to see if my friend will call in. I know this really good guy, and his family had to flee California and get back to Montana. And to get a U-Haul, it was going to be like he saved thousands and thousands of dollars by driving. Like, he had to drive to another state, get the U-Haul, bounce that thing all the way back to California.
Right.
And then when he drove it to Billings, he had to then drop the U-Haul off somewhere else because everybody was fleeing California. So to get a U-Haul out of California was massively expensive. Whereas, like, in other states, it wasn't as bad because people weren't fleeing these other states. They were fleeing California. They were fleeing Newsom's policies.
The real question is this a preview of what the real presidential debates are going to be like in 2024?
Well, why I'm excited, especially for this one, is because, you know, the way these two have been talking trash, they were both in Montana the same weekend that ad wars were flying back and forth last summer. Was it the summer before? I can't remember. But I like the one-on-one. Oh, 90 sure. minutes, one-on-one, that's a real debate. To me, when you have 30 people on the stage, come on, this is a candidate forum. It's not a debate.
Right,
so this should be a real debate tonight.
You have 30 seconds to respond.
Yeah, yeah. we have 30 seconds.
We do have 30
and,
seconds.
And that's not enough time to even sneak in a big-time commercial yet. So I'm going to save one of those for the 8 o'clock hour. Hey, David, always good to see you.
And good to be here.
Thanks for your time. I know it's very valuable.
And
replace the water jug on your way out, if you would. I need coffee while we're joking about that.